pretty ignorant and irresponsible. And being that these women have been burned in such a way, they raised their daughters in such a manner of, you know, you depend on no man. And this happened to me personally. I was raised by a single mother, and she's always taught me, you be independent, which there's nothing wrong with being independent.
Yeah, when you're single, right.
When you're single, that's exactly right, when you're single. But when you become someone's wife, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I had to learn certain things as well. I'm not trying to make myself out to be some goody two-shoes because...
What did you have to learn? Share that, because some of the ladies listening need to learn those same lessons. And I'm grateful to God that a sister could call and talk with these sisters and help them out, because they aren't listening to me.
Right.
You see, they aren't. And so what are some of the lessons that you had to learn?
Well, I had to learn, for one thing, to trust my husband completely. And I say that because I had been single for so long and doing everything on my own for so long. It took me a little while, or it took me some time to get accustomed to turning everything over to my husband. And once I did it, I realized that it was easier for me. You know, it just, certain things I feel like I shouldn't have to do and don't really want to do. I don't want to take on the masculine position in our relationship because I'm not the man. That's his area. So, you know, a lot of these things I had to really kind of learn. And the bottom line is it was a question of me. I had to question myself, because if I didn't think my husband was a man of character, then why would I entrust my life to this man by marrying him?
Yes.
So, you know, it was just a lot of lessons that I had to learn. I had to learn to be submissive. I want to say it didn't take a whole lot of time, did it, honey?
Pastor John, I know what I mean when I say this, and I know you know what I mean when I say this. We still have flesh. So, you know, there were times, and there still are times, where, now my wife, if let me back up a little bit. One of the things, and I can say this as far as the word submission is concerned, my thing is, if we're Christians, then the Bible should be the very foundation on which we stand. If we have we're having trouble, we need to go to the Word. How does the Word lay out these issues? How should we deal with it from a biblical perspective? And, going to the Word, it is perfectly clear that as the husband, you see, now I'm going to switch a little bit, because I want to talk about myself.
Okay.
I didn't always, because of the teaching I was under, you know, the men kind of beat their chest, you know, and talk to one another, look at my wife, look how she jumps and moves and runs and does what I say. And they were kind of like puppets, you know. They were mistreating their wives, you know.
Yeah.
And I kind of took on the same persona, beat my chest, and, you know, instead of, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And I had to look at within myself and find out, was I putting her first? You talked about it one time when your wife was living here, that, you know, when you work overtime around the holidays, that money went to Lucy, and
yes,
you got the best cars, and, you know, you put her before yourself.
Right.
And I had to look at my life and ask myself, you know, was I putting my wife first? And in a lot of instances, I was not. You know, and I already shared that with you, Pastor John. I got the big piece of chicken, you know, and I always put myself first. But then I had to realize that, you know, and she was submissive at that time. You know, she was, you know, but I was out of line, you know.
So both of you are telling me right now that in this relationship of marriage, man, this is beautiful. Because, Sean, what you're saying is that the Holy Spirit had to be the contender in this. The Holy Spirit was a referee, refereeing both of your lives, letting you both know what you both had to do. And you both, you see, submission is not, therefore, a one-sided street. It's not just your wife submitting, but it's you submitting also, right, Sean?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
And so it's a double submission. So tell me about some of the things that, some of the problems that cease to exist when you both start living like this. Because you see, a lot of people listening out there, they're saying, wait a minute now, you know, John just put this interview together. He know them folks and he told them what to say. First of all, let me ask you this right now. Did I email you any of the questions or anything about this interview at all?
No.
Absolutely not, because I don't do stuff like that. Christians don't have to set up a radio presentation. They're speaking from their hearts. And that's what's wrong with Christianity today. Practically everything out there is staged, and it's staged to get a certain effect. So,
something else?
Say again?
Can I say something else?
Please do. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I just want to let people know, just in case, because you remember that, you know, submission, when women hear about submission, you think about it. Today, you know, you ask a woman, say they're in a circle, and they talk about their careers. What do you do? Well, I'm an executive. What do you do? Well, I'm a CEO, and I'm this, and I'm that. And they look at the Christian woman and say, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a housewife. I'm a mother. And they look down on that, and then she begins to feel inadequate and feel that, you know, and I'm not talking about my wife, you know,
right.
But she begins to feel that, you know, well, she has to have the career. She has to have all these things to validate her. And let me tell you, we didn't grow up. We grew up in the Bronx, New York. Both of us are from New York. And, you know, I came up under the hip-hop culture, and, you know how they treat women and how they
yes.
treat women. That was my mindset. My wife also in the same culture, you know, that was her mindset. So, you know, we're two individuals that...
had no godly examples of marriage.
That's right, not at all.
Wow.
I've never seen in my lifetime as a sinner a happy marriage or godly marriage. I never
what?
With my own eyes. Never. Never. And you know, so I say that because some people may think, well, you know, they grew up a certain way. They
Sean, you hit it right on the head, brother. You hit it right on the head. God bless. If you haven't seen it, what about the hundreds and thousands of other marriages and people that have never seen it? And then what about them? They're not going to hear this program. They're not going to. Now I understand, because you see, I had the role models before me. I had them before me. I had something to, you know, it's the music that I play. Even on this show today, the first song that I played, you guys didn't hear because you weren't on yet, but the first song that I played was music that influenced me. It was the kind of role model thing that we had. You didn't have that.
That's right.
So you're depending fully upon God and His Word to make this work for you then.
That's right. And that's something that I didn't do initially when I got saved. Coming up in a false church, I started to look at those who were around me and try to pattern my marriage after what I saw. And, you know, and what I saw was, you know, me and my wife, we're about to move. And I was throwing away some of my clothes, and I said, I'm just not going to wear them. Just get rid of them. And I came across some suits of mine, and I looked at them. And personally, I probably would never wear them again, you know, because they represent the type of person I was trying to mirror. You know, the long suits, you know, kind of like the zoot suits of old. You know.
With oh yeah, yeah.
Shoes, you know, you got to have the shoes that look like alligators, and you know, and that was the example that I had before me. So I try to pattern my marriage after what I saw, and that did not work. So it was not until, you know, and we had some great times, but I don't think we were fully operating as one until we got out of that place.
And I think that's where a lot of my issues came in, because it wasn't just my husband trying to pattern himself. I was doing the same thing because I felt like, you know, well, maybe I do need to be more like Minister so-and-so's wife or Pastor so-and-so's wife, but that's where my struggle came, because I'm not them. I'm me, and I can only be the best me that I can be. You know, I can't be another person, and, you know, a lot of my struggles came from that, and that's when I started to notice things like, everybody here is this clone. Why, you know, why is everybody a clone?
Well, it's so
ungodly to be in yourself. You know, why do we have to be like, you know, the pastor's wife or the minister's wife? Why can't we just be who we are and love the Lord and learn of the Lord like we're supposed to do?
Man, I'm going to listen. You guys do not. Man, I'm just listening to you talk, and the Lord is speaking to my heart. It is because those men that call themselves pastors of the church know that an entire generation is this way, and that an entire generation does not have the proper biblical role models because their parents, their families didn't display it. And so what they've done is they've created an absolutely brand new paradigm shift. And this shift has taken over in most of our black churches. One of my friends told me that I need the Faith Channel or whatever it is, because all during the week they show these various churches from all over the country. All of them wearing the same kind of suits, the same kind of women, the same kind of talk, the same kind of stuff. It's the paradigm shift that has taken place because biblical Christianity has all but been erased from the hearts and the minds of our people. That is why we are going through so much chaos and conflict. And I got to tell you guys, I had no idea. That's why sometimes you hear me either crying or getting angry, because I'm saying, what in the heck is wrong with you people? What would make you people stay in something like that? It's the fake preachers and their wives and the people that promote this kind of foolishness with these huge churches, huge accounts, and giving you the prima facie value that being a prosperous person looking like us is what a successful marriage is like. My goodness. Now, what I'd like you both to do now, because you've already given to me, and I really appreciate some of the words that you've said, but I want you to think about this. And Sean, I want you to answer me first. I want you to talk to the young men out there and tell those young men what they have to do in order to pull away from this paradigm shift that's a lie. Now, they don't have fathers, Sean. They don't have fathers. They aren't going to trust a man like me because they don't know me. What do you tell these guys?
Oh, okay. That's, I don't want to say pretty simple, but I'm going to tell you like this. One of the things you said, why is it that people stay in this mess? Why is it that, okay, let me explain it to you, okay? And I just wrote this in an article that I sent to Stand Up, so it'll be in there probably next month. But there is a strategy that's used by these so-called ministries or pastors, and this is how it works. It's, and I'm only going to speak from my point of view and what I've experienced in the small black church and the community. First of all, the small black church desires to be like the big mega churches that they watch on television. And they had maybe at one point in time preached the truth, but it wasn't causing the church to grow because the mega church says, you know, we're mega as evidence that we're being blessed by God because we're in His will. So you smaller churches need to get with us and do what we do. First of all, you need to 501c3, you know, become a corporation, which is nothing but a gag order. That's a whole other story.
Right.
Then get the government favors. We can teach you how to get money and teach you how to, you know, so they have this mindset. And then here comes two individuals like me and my wife was. We were unchurched. We coming straight from the streets, no biblical knowledge whatsoever, and we are totally at the will at that point in time before we were saved, being used as Satan's will, totally fleshy. And now we come into this environment where, you know, the pastors, and they all do this, trust me, they preach to and about your pain and what you've been through, and then you start to cry because you think about what you've been through.
Lord have mercy.
Okay. Because God has all He has a plan for you. So then you start sitting and you're crying, and then now those tears and those yells, you know, the pastor begins to manipulate, and people begin to, they call it the move of the Spirit. God is moving in this place, but it's not God moving, it's the pastor manipulating. So while the people are being manipulated, they feed them false doctrine, and then they'll tell them, read the Bible for yourself. It's in there. So what we did was we read it and said, yeah, it says right here, Malachi 3:8, that, you know, we're cursed. Rob God. It says that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that, and one thing that was said, here's something else they do. They definitely preach down about theology. theology. You know, we used to call it the church. What is the church of the frozen chosen?
The frozen chosen.
People who just come to church and sit down like they want to learn something. You know, they don't. They act like they didn't, God didn't do nothing for them. So what happened was, this is how they do it. They'll go ahead, they'll play on your emotions, and then they'll give you positions also in the church. Okay. And so while you're getting this false doctrine that's helping your felt needs and you feel real good about yourself, and, oh, yeah, they're going to tell you that, you know, Christ died on the cross and he nailed poverty to the cross, he nailed sickness to the cross. So you now begin to pursue the things of the world. And then you got this position, and then you have these emotional soul ties. Okay, so here is the biggest part. The pastor a lot of times may not directly try to manipulate the people. He'll have two deacons, or his cronies on the side, that will always make sure the people stay in check, that they follow the rules and regulations and do what the pastor tells them to do, you know, so they'll enforce this and intimidate the people, you know, and
It's called following the vision of the pastor.
You never question. If you question the pastor, and when I say question, I mean challenge, because of something he taught, then you are automatically... you're out of line. You know, matter of fact, you're on borderline of walking out of the will of God. So there's a manipulation system. See, the people that are in these churches, most of them, I just say the most from what I saw, they're not individuals with your background, Pastor John, that maybe came up in some solid teaching and had a biblical understanding. The people that are in the type of churches that I come up in are people with no Bible knowledge.
Okay.
Would never think about theology. Into mysticism and emotionalism and stuff like that. So, you know, it feels good. There you go. It feels good.
But another thing as well is most of these people are just like we were. We grew up in the streets. We lived horrible lives before we came into the knowledge of who God was. So a lot of these people's lives are dependent on them staying in the church.
Yeah.
They feel like if I don't stay, they may have they may be a little skeptical, but they feel like if they don't stay, they're going to fall back into sin.
Oh, my goodness. And then now something else that we're hitting on that, man, I'm really blessed for having this conversation with you guys, is that a person like me who came up black in the inner city in Los Angeles that had parents, knew how to work, went to school, got the degrees, experienced some pain in my life, and knew that if pain came, knew the Bible because I was taught the Bible. And it says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God. Now, I'm responding as a young Christian man completely different from this new crew that's coming up in the church now, because I've been operating from day one from the biblical premise. You see, when God called me and I began to follow the Lord, every day, every week when I went to church, it was biblical messages that I was hearing. I never could embrace the prosperity gospel because you guys know that before I got saved, there was no prosperity gospel. After I got saved, there was no prosperity gospel. That came after TBN came on the scene.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the Full Gospels Businessmen Fellowship, that came after I got saved. And so I was just purebred in the Word like every Christian from 2,000 years ago was. And so you see this lack of submission and this lack of understanding, all right? So I understand, Sean, what you're saying is that the man has to be strong. How do you get a young man in his late 20s and 30s to think for himself? And Sean, I want you to... No, let me let Tamika answer that first. Tamika, you've already said that the mother has influenced you. Now, how do you get this young lady to think for herself and to stop listening to the same old tapes that's playing in her head that her mother started going?
It's the same principle. She's been influenced for this extreme length of time by the mother or the mother figure in her life. She needs good, strong, godly influence. And not only that, she needs to realize at some point that she's enough of an individual to take the time to seek out for herself the truth. You have to want the truth. because a lot of people won't see the truth for what it is because they're not ready for the truth. They can't handle the truth, so to speak.